Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you all. In today's episode, we will be discussing the topic of the essence of gratitude in light of the Holy Quran and the sayings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him.
I will begin with, as usual, by reading from the Holy Quran, and I'll be reading from chapter number 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse number 8. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Translation: And remember also the time when your Lord declared, "If you are grateful, I will surely bestow more favors on you. But if you are ungrateful, then know that my punishment is severe." Gratitude is a strong feeling of appreciation to someone or something for what they have done for a person. That is what most dictionaries would define the word gratitude. But then beyond that, one thing we know is also that gratitude helps one to appreciate what they have, instead of reaching for something that is new, which in most cases they might not even attain it, or hoping to get something that is already not in hand, with the hope of making one happier or satisfied. So gratitude helps us to appreciate what we have instead of reaching for something that we don't currently have. But one thing that I believe most people don't know is that gratitude helps a person to focus on what they have and how best they can make good use of what they have. Now, as I recited from the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty says, if we are grateful, definitely He's going to add more to what He has already given us. But then He doesn't end it there. He says, but if we are ungrateful, then we should know that His punishment is severe. I would only deal with the first portion of it, that is being grateful, and possibly reserve the other side for some other time. That is, if we are ungrateful, the punishment that comes thereafter. Should we ask this question? Do we owe Allah the Almighty gratitude? The answer is yes. Yes, because in the same chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter number 14, Surah to Ibrahim, verse number 35, Allah the Almighty says, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Which also translates as, and He gave you all that you wanted of Him. That is, Allah the Almighty gave you all that you wanted of Him. And if you try to count the favors of Allah, you will not be able to number them. Verily, man is very unjust and ungrateful. So here again, there is some kind of Allah the Almighty's displeasure about not being grateful to Him. This verse actually requires of us to reflect upon the numerous blessings that Allah the Almighty has bestowed on us. That is, Allah being merciful to us, and for that matter, we being deserving or being required to be grateful to Him for that matter. As we enter a new era, a new year, all of us are hoping to pass through the year so that by the 31st of December 2021, when we count those who are living, we will be glad to be counted among them. But one thing that most of us are not aware is that every day globally, today we are just 11 days in the first month of 2024, that is the 11th of January. As I speak now, globally, over 1.7 million people have died. These are deaths that are categorized as natural causes. 1.7 million people globally. On average, every day, close to 150,000 people die. I believe if we want to have an idea what 150,000 people look like, the stadium, the national stadium that we have here, I'm not sure of the capacity, but I think it might not be more than 50,000 capacity. So we're looking at filling three stadia, like the national stadium that we have, filling three of them to capacity. These people die every day. Somebody might say that we don't see it. Here in Jamaica, the national statistics show that on average, every day, around 55 people die. 55. And it is even more. Because if you, by chance, pass by some of the funeral homes, or if you happen to work at some hospitals, where on daily basis, one hospital, disposes of almost like five people per day, then you would come to realize that the 55 might even be understatement. Now, the question is, what is so special about you and I that we are here, and every day when the 55 people in this country dying, we are not counted among those who are dead? The fact is that Allah the Almighty continues to be merciful and kind to us. Hence, the need for us to appreciate the life Allah has given us and be grateful so that He gives us more. Because this is what He says in His own words, that if you are grateful, I would give you even more. Unfortunately, as we see, a lot of people fail to be grateful to Allah because they measure the favors of Allah on them when they have money. Or they measure it with money or property. This is so sad. If we look at the second verse, that is where Allah the Almighty is, He has given us everything that we needed. If a person has idea about the human body, everything that is in, now come outside the body and see the environment, how Allah, has created everything and has made human being the most prominent of all, to use all these things for free. If He says we should worship Him and be grateful to Him, I don't think He's asking us to do more than what we cannot do. But as Muslims, how would we learn to be grateful to Allah? In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty gives us the answer. He says, you have in you, or you have among you, the messenger of Allah as an excellent model for him who fears Allah in the last day and remembers Allah much. Quran chapter 33, verse 22. So here Allah the Almighty says that if we want to advance in any field, there is one person we should look to. He demonstrated all these levels to the highest. That is the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The very key example for us to look up to if indeed we want to be grateful to Allah the Almighty. We read in the Ahadith, and for those who might not be familiar with the word Hadith, these are the holy sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been recorded and passed on to us. And in the Hadith, we read that once the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying, and he used to pray most of the night, or a larger part of the night he would spend praying. Sometimes he would stand for long hours and his feet would get swollen. One day, his wife Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, became so uncomfortable with the way the Messenger of Allah was praying so long, weeping before Allah the Almighty. After the prayers, he approached me and said, "O Messenger of Allah, Allah the Almighty has assured you that he has forgiven you all your past mistakes and he's given you paradise. Why should you continue to worry yourself even that much?" The Messenger of Allah salam, said something. He said, "Afala akuna abudan shakura," that should I not then be a grateful servant? If Allah the Almighty says he has forgiven me all my past mistakes and whatever, shouldn't I also be grateful to him? This is the best example that we need to adopt, or we should try as much as possible to get closer to. Now, the founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Community, Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has said something which is also key. He says, look, our duties towards Allah the Almighty in terms of worshipping him and being grateful to him should not be limited to heaven and hell. In other words, he's saying that we should not worship Allah because we fear to be thrown into hell, or we should not worship Allah because we want to enter Allah's, paradise. He says a true believer should be in a position that even if you are told there is no heaven, there is no hell, based on the love you have for Allah the Almighty, you should worship him and be grateful to him. So Allah the Almighty is reminding us that if we are grateful, we would get even more. That is, if we are able to reflect on all the blessings Allah the Almighty gave us in the year 2023, and give thanks to him, then we should be hopeful that the next year, or the year that we are in, inshallah, will be, even better than what we passed through the previous year. But when he said that if you are ungrateful, if you don't appreciate what I have given to you in 2023, then forget about this one. As I said, I'm not going to delve too much into the negative side. Basically the side where the consequence of not being grateful. But then I want all of us to reflect. You see, this is the beauty of Islam. In other religions, even those who try to be grateful to Allah, those who try to appreciate Allah, they end up appreciating human being, giving what is due to Allah the Almighty to a fellow human being. This does not say that we should not be grateful to human beings. We have two duties: our responsibility towards Allah and duties towards fellow human beings. So once we have finished, or once we are discharging that we owe to Allah the Almighty, we should also be mindful of the duties that we owe to our fellow human beings. But if It happens to be that we are, neglecting what is due to Allah, and we are giving it to fellow human being like any prophet. Then, as I say, we as Muslims should always count ourselves lucky for having been taught the best way and effective way to communicate and also be grateful to Allah the Almighty. The Messenger of Allah has also said, he's given us some kind of, a yardstick, basically some kind of measurement to help us be grateful to Allah the Almighty. He says, always look at those you deem below you. Look at those who are below you so that you will be grateful to Allah the Almighty. If we look at those that we think are above us, we would always be complaining. We would never find favor, or we would never find use for whatever Allah the Almighty has given us. And sometimes we may even be having something so precious, but then we would never have idea how to utilize it because we don't appreciate it. Now, we come to being grateful to our fellow human beings. That is also very important. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has again said that for a person who is not grateful to a fellow human being can never be grateful to Allah the Almighty. Once somebody came to him and asked, "O Messenger of Allah, after Allah and His Messenger, who is more dutiful towards, dutiful that I have to respect, I have to show love, I have to show appreciation?" He said, "Your mother." The person asked again, "Who next?" He said again, "Your mother." The person asked again, "Who next?" Again, the Messenger of Allah said, "Your mother." Now, at the fourth time, he said, "Your father." This is very important. I believe most of us might have, heard or read this hadith. So this shows that as people, we have to be grateful to our parents. In fact, in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has said that we should pray for them. And the prayer is also given. Allah the Almighty did not just say pray for them. He has taught us how to pray. He says, "Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira." Oh my Lord, have mercy on my parents, even as they nourished me in my childhood. I believe we have idea about what we, some of us, basically not all of us, almost all of us, went through, the difficulties that we gave to our parents, the sleepless nights that we gave to our parents, particularly our mothers, keeping us in their wombs for 9 months, in some cases even beyond. Allah the Almighty has, summarized everything and says, "As they nourished me." The word is nourishment. When we talk about nourishment, there are two types when it comes to a baby. We have the prenatal nourishment and postnatal nourishment. That is the nourishment that was given even when the child was not born, and that which was given after the child was born. Here, Allah the Almighty has not mentioned degree. Allah the Almighty has not mentioned qualifications. Allah is not saying that it is only when your parents help you to pass through university, that's why you have to be grateful to them or take care of them. No. Allah uses a basic word like nourishment. There are a lot of people who neglect their parents. because according to them, their parents did not take them through certain, level of education that they expected to be. Allah the Almighty says we should not forget. Nourishment that they gave us is something that we can never pay them back. Look at a child born a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, so helpless that sometimes, even when the same child eases himself or herself, if the parents don't attend to it, that child will be in his or her own feces and get complications and might even die from his or her own, excretion. That shows how, miserable we are or we were. Now, if your parents have nourished you to the extent that you now are able to walk, able to run, even be able to run even faster than them, that alone is sufficient reason to be grateful to our parents and not, set some standard for us. These standards are not standards that Allah the Almighty has given us, these degrees and what and what. Allah the Almighty talks about education. He says parents should educate their children. And education here does not mean just going to classroom. Education starts from childhood. Your mother telling you, don't eat with your left hand, eat with the right hand, eat what is ahead of in front of you. Don't, reach for that which is in front of somebody. This is education. It starts basically at home. It is now that society has, imposed certain lifestyle on us, for which reason a lot of us are ungrateful for the benefits that we receive from Allah the Almighty and even fellow human beings. Now, the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I believe some of us are aware that he did not meet his father. His father died before he was born. When he was 6 years old, his mother also died. Now, there was a lady, Hazrat Halima, who took care of him as his foster mother. History tells us, and the ahadith tell us, the level of respect and love the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for the foster mother was, beyond a person's even thinking. Sometimes it is said that he would spread his, like his robe for the lady to either walk on or to sit on. So, there are a lot that we can learn from the Messenger of Allah. And as I say, sometimes the media, this is the gentleman or the person that the media and the Western society, which is so corrupt to the core, would want us to believe that, God forbid, maybe he was a monster or something. God forbid. The Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, also said that we need to be grateful to our spouses. Now we have dealt with our parents. We need to be grateful to our spouses because once we leave the household of our parents, we now begin to establish our own household. And the person that, or the people that we establish this household with, we need to work hands in hands and also be grateful for whatever benefit we receive from them. The Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has said in one of his hadith, he said, the believers who show the most perfect faith are those who have the best behavior, and the best of you in behavior are those who are best to their wives. This is for the Muslim man, the Muslim husband. In Islam, a woman is not under any obligation to work. In fact, a woman is not to labor and pay rent. A woman is not supposed to be paying electricity bills. A woman is not supposed to be, looking for food, to be served in the household. A woman's responsibility, even as a daughter, is to enjoy from the father. And once the father's, responsibilities end, it passes on to the husband to be, nurtured, to be loved, provided for. But then that also comes with a responsibility. When we receive all this, then as ladies, we also have to be grateful to our husbands. I believe we have heard of one hadith which says that a man who does not take care of one of his wives and leave the wife hanging like a nonentity, Allah the Almighty says, on the day of judgment, such a man shall be raised back to account when half of his body is rotten. Now, the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has also said, he said, I was shown the hellfire, and that the majority of its dwellers were women who were ungrateful. And it was asked, were they ungrateful to Allah, or were they not believers in Allah? The Messenger of Allah said, it was said, the answer was that they were simply ungrateful to their husbands. Now, another a good example that we learn from the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that he respected the country or the city, the place that gave him residence. He loved Mecca, the city that he was born in. He loved Mecca so much, so that when he was driven out, when he was being chased out of Mecca, he stood and said, "Oh Mecca, I love you so dearly, but your people would never let me live here." So he went to Medina, and he treated Medina also, the second home that gave him refuge, he treated Medina with such a respect. He never talked down on Medina. In fact, he was born in Mecca. When he died, definitely it would have been preferred that he would have been buried in Mecca. I believe it was in fulfillment of his wish that he should be buried in Medina to give some kind of honor to that city which gave him refuge. He taught us, he says, love for one's country is part of faith, which goes to say that we have to be grateful for the only country in the world where we don't require any document to live in. A lot of people are so quick to talk down on their own countries, their own societies, and look forward to some kind of better country, better society somewhere, even though when they get there, they are not going to be respected. The country or the city or the town that has given you residence, whether you were born there or whether you migrated there, whether work took you there, Islam tells us to love and be grateful for that country as well. In our local language, I mean, it is stated that a bad doctor who has sustained a patient for a good doctor to take over, that doctor is not to be disrespected. So the bad is in quotation, a bad doctor. And I believe we have a popular saying that the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. I wonder how many of us have ever, reflected on this saying that the devil you know is better than the angel you don't know. Usually, this expression is used to tell us that we should respect what we have before we even think of getting what we intend to get, which we don't already have it. But as I was asking about how many of us have reflected on this, the devil you know It's better than an angel you don't know. There is no way any form of devil can be better than any form of angel. The most, well-behaved devil cannot be compared to the worst angel. So why do we use this? You see, it is all based on expectations. When we live with people, we become so accustomed to them. We become so used to them to the extent that even when they do good to us, we don't cherish it any longer. Human beings are like that, just like Allah the Almighty says, man is ungrateful. And that is why, as couples, as I was saying, if a man, your wife, prepares food for you, yes, as Islam, dictates, you might have spent the money, you might have brought the food back home. But then imagine bringing the food back home, going out, you come back and the food is there. Or you put the money on the table, you come back and the money is still there. Can you eat the money? So you have to be grateful. Now, when we live with people, we become so accustomed to them to the extent that even when they do good, we don't cherish it. And sometimes we now begin to count the so-called bad that they do to us. And by extension, we tag them as devils. And then we hear about somebody who we have never even shared a day with, either by, just one day experience, we think of them as angels. But the person that you see as an angel is also somebody that another person considers as a devil. That's why it is said that the devil you know is better than the angel you do not know. So it is just some kind of expectations that we have, which generates this kind of ungratefulness in us. Every single person who contributes in making your life what it is, you owe this person some level of gratitude. To just make it so simple, we all have ambitions, we have goals that we have set. Before the year started, most of us set some kind of resolutions, what we want to achieve. The question is, can you as an individual or can we achieve it without anybody's assistance? That is not going to be possible. No matter how personal the goal is, you need somebody's assistance to help you achieve it. If you are working, before you get to your place of work, you need to take somebody's service, a taxi, or you need to drive. By driving, you know that you have to put some kind of fuel in. If you go to the fuel station and one day all the fuel stations say they are not selling fuel to you, you may have your money, you may have whatever you have, your vehicle cannot move. If you stand by your gate and all taxi drivers within your community says, we are not going to take you, take your money, we don't like your money, don't want your money, take your money, you would never get to work, not even to think of achieving your dream and your goal. So every day, as the days pass by, we pass through the hands of people who, one way or the other, we benefit from. And we need to appreciate them all. Sometimes people think that because you are paying for certain service, so you don't have to say thank you. No. Your service, you are paying for it, but then somebody is also offering you the service. This brings to mind, it brings to mind the relationship between employers and employees. Employers have to be grateful to their employees, and employees also be grateful to their employers. Because we know that it is not easy for somebody to sit, just reflect that I want to create a business. The person has the money. There are some people who have businesses that if they were to shut down that business, They can survive on the money till they die. They don't need any kind of, profit if they so desire. But then they create this employment opportunity for people to get something to go and feed their families. When it is said that you should report to work at 9, people choose to go to work at 10. That is not being grateful to your employer. It is simple as that. How many people would still be in good terms with their employers if they have a better job or if they leave their places of work? I believe we have heard of a South African man who, he bought a lotto ticket, and the next day he was informed that he has won, millions of dollars. He went to his boss's office the next day after he was coming, I mean, it was communicated to him that he's won the lottery, and literally messed up the office, defecated, just to show how disgusting he felt for his boss. But then he could not say it until he looked for or he got something better. Now, after he had done that, definitely he was arrested and, just being processed. They asked him, what motivated you? Of course, there was a bad feud between him and his boss. Now that he has money, even better than his boss, the only way to pay back is to go and, mess up the place. Sadly, it came out that it was a rumor. He had literally not won the lotto. So he lost his job and, of course, also had to face the law. As funny as it might be, how many people will still remain that kind of respect and cordial relationship with their employees or their employers after they part ways? An employer should also know that you can establish your company. You yourself cannot be the security. You yourself alone cannot be the cashier. You cannot be the, you can't be everything. So you need people. That's what Islam says. We have to be grateful for any kind of, favor that we receive from other people. There are a lot of, examples and a lot that we can share, but always we are mindful of time. But I want to leave us with, these few things to reflect on. Allah the Almighty has said that if we are grateful, He's going to give us more. What stops us from being grateful? As human beings, we know that we might not be perfect, even if we try to be as much good as we want. But then that effort should be there. Just like last week, our missionary in charge in his presentation made mention that consistency is key. Even if you have to take one step at a time. So in terms of being grateful to Allah the Almighty, you have to always, give a pause, reflect about the blessings Allah the Almighty has given us. When you get up in the morning and you stretch and you are good, that alone is sufficient reason to be grateful to Allah the Almighty. As Muslims, we are told to visit the sick, the needy, and also to pay our last respect to the dead. Apart from the blessings we get in visiting the sick and taking care of the needy and also paying last respect to the dead, it also instills in us a certain level of gratitude. Because if you visit, just one visit to a hospital will give you the idea how merciful Allah the Almighty has been to us. It is very important that we need to think deeply about. I always say, how many of us would be eager to give to somebody who came to beg you the previous day? And when you gave, the person did not even say thank you. Just picked it and left. Now he or she comes back the next day without even saying good morning, comes to ask you again, how many of us, even if we have, how many of us will be willing to give? So Allah the Almighty says He's created us in His image, basically just like as the Bible says. But then Allah in the Holy Quran, in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty says He's created us on His fitrah, that is His nature. So if Allah is merciful, we too have to be merciful. Allah is appreciating. That is why He rewards good for goodness. And it is also mandatory on us, incumbent on us, to reflect on this and also be grateful to Allah the Almighty. In the end, I would pray that as we immerse ourselves in the year, counting the blessings of Allah the Almighty, we should not forget about the world. The situation that the world is going through today is so serious that if care is not taken, the unthinkable could happen in the coming years. We have witnessed what happened in 2019 with COVID. It showed how, weak we are as human beings, to the extent that we cannot on our own achieve anything without Allah's mercy. What happened between Russia and Ukraine was also another wake-up call to us. And now what is happening between Palestine, Israel's, attack on Palestine, basically, the kind of as they will put it. But then what is happening? Either you call it a war between Palestine and Israel, or you call it genocide, or whatever you call it, these are some of the things that can, plague the entire world into a possible global war. And as people, we should not wait until when these troubles come before we become prayerful. On the 30th of October, I guess, or 31st of October, the day that the earthquake happened here in Jamaica, within that few minutes after the earthquake, a lot of people became closer to God. Seriously. Sometimes people ask, why do we go through troubles? Our duty on earth is to worship Allah, to be closer to God. So anything that can get us closer to God is good for us. Now, within that space, a lot of people became closer to God. We should not wait until trouble comes. As Muslims, we are told that every day we should say the word Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah. And not just by saying it with our lips, but then also following it up with certain other obligations that we owe to Allah. May Allah the Almighty bless us, bless our country, the world, our families, the Jamaat, and all the people that we derive, some sort of benefit from. May Allah take us through this year, in peace, in prosperity, so that when, in the last month of this year, when we meet, inshallah, it will be all of us once again here sharing the messages of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah once again be on you.
Rasulullah.